Adams Pierre's broadside silhouettes me the poor of 2 hours of clock. Music and interviews on the X-Men room in St. Cruz to get these silhouettes for this.
And Doris Day, Red China, Johnny Ray, South Pacific, Walter Winchell, Joe DiMaggio, Joe McCarthy, Richard Nixon, Scooter, Baker, Television, North Korea, South Korea, Marilyn Monroe. Rosenberg, Fitch, Bobby, Sugar Ray, Pat Monjon, Brando, the King and I, and the Catcher in the Rye, Eisenhower, vaccine, England's got a new queen, Marciano, Liberace, Sapphire, go!
We can start the fire, but we call it mine, it's just a rock and roll. We can start the fire, but we put it right, it doesn't try the light.
Joseph Stalin, Alan Carr, Nazareth, the coffee, Rockefeller, Campanella, Communist Bloc, Roy Cohn, Walter Ron, Toscanini, Dacron, Gendin, Foo Falls, Rock Around the Clock, Einstein, James Dean, Duncan, Dano, Raymond Dean, Lady Crockett, Peter Pan, Elvis Presley, Disneyland, Bartow, Budapest, Alabama, Khrushchev, Princess Grace, Lucky Race, Trouble in the Shoeing.
We can start the fire.
And you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. I'm your host for the next 2 hours, Bathrop's Pierre Robert Norris. I'm going to be guiding you through numerous interviews, particularly some from our Housing California 98 conference in Sacramento last weekend, a kind of a poverty pimp jamboree, where we were able to get a hold of a few folks, give us some information on what's going on with civil rights struggles in different parts of the state. We also have reports from Skidmark Bob on the Santa Cruz streets. We got a call from jail from that irascible, sometime activist, Crossroads Chris Brozda. We have music galore, as usual. And you're going to hear frequent commercial interruptions requesting that you haul your buttocks down to the May 8th Sleeping Band Benefit Concert Rally Dance tomorrow night at the Veterans Hall. That's 7 o'clock. With minstrel Mark Levy, Keith McHenry, Wellspring, Carol Denny, Jess Kidden, skits by the Rascals, and the main band Slow Gherkin, who of course I never heard of, but hopefully everybody else has. That's the benefit by the Committee to Repeal the Sleeping Ban, Friday, May 8th, 7 o'clock at the Veterans Hall. We need you down there. And I believe there may be some opportunities for folks to be security people, too. If you want to spend some time doing that kind of work, you'll be able to get in free. Otherwise, it's $3 to $7 sliding scale. And we need the money. We're giving all the benefits will essentially go to homeless people gathering signatures for the initiative to repeal the sleeping ban. The sleeping ban, for those of you who may have been living in Hoboken or hiding in some office somewhere without your radio on, at least not tuned to this particular station. The sleeping ban is the Santa Cruz City Ordinance that makes it illegal for homeless people to sleep at night or to cover up with blankets after 11 o'clock until 8:30 in the morning. And in a city where there's less than 30 spaces for 500 to 1,500 homeless, this is something of an extremely bad joke. But it nonetheless continues. From the smiling lips of Mike Rotkin, Cynthia Matthews, Michael Hernandez, and the other members of the so-called progressive Santa Cruz City Council that we now have to essentially go past with this initiative. And essentially, we're taking the matter to the Santa Cruz community to decide, since the Santa Cruz City Council has refused to put this issue on its agenda year after year, in spite of endless urgings, pleadings, peaceful protests, lockdowns, you name it. They are determined to keep it illegal to fall asleep after 11 o'clock at night. But this concert, May 8th, tomorrow, we will attempt to kind of surmount the final hurdle, since by May 28th we need about 6,500 signatures to get 3,800 good ones to qualify this initiative for the November ballot. This initiative would make it legal for people to sleep in certain areas of the city. It would make and essentially acknowledge that sleeping per se is a human right. And if you're not engaging in other criminal behavior, if you're not camping, in other words, camping is still a crime, unfortunately, but we're looking to see the human rights aspect of this. If you're not camping, but you're just sleeping, if you haven't set up a tent, if you haven't got a stove going, if you aren't littering, pissing and shitting all over the place, then the actual act of sleeping itself cannot be called a crime, particularly when there is no shelter space, no legal place for people to be. And as any of you who may know who have been reading the papers, that kind of shutdown of a low-income shelter area is happening all over the county. It's happening in Watsonville. It's happened, of course, to Bob's Pine Grove Campground. It is illegal for people to sleep. It's going to probably be illegal for a lot of Beach Flats residents to sleep, and that's going to be the subject of our first tape, our first interview. Earlier today, we had a kind of a pre-Bathrob Spears broadside civil rights interview with community activist Phil Baer, who spoke to us before the 3 p.m. special city council meeting that happened today on this Thursday. Usually city council meetings are every second and fourth Tuesday. Today there was one on Thursday to essentially rush forward the Beach Flats 3rd Street realignment plan, which of course is a huge sellout to the Seaside Company of significant chunks of the Beach Flats area in return for some chunks of cash from them, and in return for I guess the La Bahia Hotel project will go up, but the number of people displaced has been an issue of some controversy, as well as would the water usage be in any way feasible, what about the tide lands that are being destroyed, what about the public process by which this whole thing is being done. All these questions are being raised, and in fact we intend to have on the air discussing this and other issues Councilmember Scott Kennedy on May 17th, that's a week from Sunday, our Sunday show, that'll be happening. So stay with us for more of Bathrob Spears Broadsides. We've got a full schedule, and we hope that you are going to be there for all of it. If you want to call into the show, we do have a phone line, I hope, that works. That's 423-5361. That's our studio line here at 96.3 FM, the station to which you're tuned. 423-5361.
Early every year, the seeds are growing. Unseen, unheard, they lie beneath the ground. Would you know until their leaves are showing that with weeds all your garden will abound? If you close your eyes, stop your ears, hold your tongue, then how can you know? For seeds you cannot see may not be there, seeds you cannot hear may never grow.
In January you still got the choice. You can cut the weeds before they start to bud. If you leave them to grow high, they'll silence your voice. And in December you may pay with your blood. So close your eyes, stop your ears, close your mouth, take it slow. Let others take the lead and you bring up the rear, and later you can say you didn't know. Every day another vulture takes flight, there's another danger born every morning. In the darkness of your blindness the beast will learn to bite. How can you fight if you can't recognize a warning? So close your eyes, stop your ears, close your mouth, take it slow. Let others take the lead and you bring up the rear, and later you can say you didn't know. Today you may earn a living wage, tomorrow you may be on the dole. Though there's millions going hungry, you needn't disengage, for it's them, not you, that's fallen in the hole. So close your eyes, stop your ears, close your mouth, take it slow. Let others take the lead and you bring up the rear, and later you can say you didn't know. Today the soldiers took away one, tomorrow they may take away two. 1 April they took away Greece, but surely they will never take you. So close your eyes, stop your ears, close your mouth, take it slow. Let others take the lead and you bring up the rear, and later you can say you didn't know. It's alright for you if you run with the pack, it's alright if you agree with all they do. If fascism is slowly climbing back, it's not here yet, so what's it got to do with you? So close your eyes, stop your ears, close your mouth, take it slow. Let others take the lead and you bring up the rear, and later you can say you didn't know. The weeds are all around us and they're growing, it will soon be too late for the night. If you leave them on the wind, not around the world is blowing, you may pay for your silence with your life. So close your eyes, stop your ears, close your mouth, and never dare. And if it happens here, they'll never come for you, because they'll know you really didn't care.
And that was Peggy Seeger and Ewan McCall from one of their classic tapes, At the Present Moment. You're still tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz 96.3, and Free Radio's voicemail, if you have any PSIs to give us, which we will gladly read if there are any interest in the community. Our voicemail is 427-4523. Call-in number is 423-5361. For those of you who want to join in this discussion as it develops, number of topics today. Those of you who follow the newspapers or have just been living in Santa Cruz, you probably know Karen Gillette, the Homeless Community Resource Center head, has resigned publicly effective June 30th. It was covered in a headline story by the Santa Cruz Sentinel on Tuesday. I actually knew about it last week. And the question of how, why, and what really is going on there is an interesting story that I don't really know all the answers to, but we're going to be talking about that. We're hoping to give a call to the Tenants' Rights Union of Santa Cruz, TRUSC, if we can raise them on the phone. If you're listening, Donna Dice and Marco, give us a listen, maybe even give us a call if you have an update of what's going on with the tenants of Santa Cruz and the struggle to get some kind of legal protections at the city and county level, and possibly organize with tenants' unions elsewhere. Today is May 7th, 1998. May 7th, some of you may not know, is an anniversary of Isabel Rosado. She's a Puerto Rican nationalist, a heroic resistance fighter of the 1950s rebellion against the U.S. occupation of Puerto Rico, her island country. She was one of the Vieques 21 arrested in May 1979 for protesting U.S. Navy occupation of Vieques. At age 72, she faced off against armed U.S. soldiers throwing rocks at them. Pretty impressive. Tomorrow is the 8th, and I'm looking at my Shiro's calendar here. It's Gertrude Simons Bonin, a.k.a. Zitkala Sa, Sioux organizer, pan-Indian activist, a classically trained violinist, essayist and writer about the domestic life of Native Americans. She served as an officer of the male-dominated Society of American Indians. She moved to Washington, D.C., where she stopped writing about domestic life to focus on issues of land and water rights. She founded the National Council of American Indians, a lobbying group of which she became president. Criticized by Indian men for her active role as a woman, she proceeded to write a historical account of women leaders in the Native struggle, setting the foundations for greater presence by women in the national pan-tribal political movements of the 1960s. That's Gertrude Simons Bonin, also known as Zitkala Sa, Sioux organizer. Today is Isabel Rosado's Day, Puerto Rican nationalist. We'll have a few more little tidbits like that of folks that you don't usually hear too much about, even in the politically correct left press, because they just don't quite make the cut. We've all heard of Emma Goldman, And most of us have even heard of Susan B. Anthony, but we don't hear about these other folks who have struggled just as hard and may in their own way have been just as effective in turning the tide for basic rights for women and indeed for all of the human community. So, we have a guest in the studio with us today, sign-in guest.
Dave.
And Dave is a little shy about his last name, but those of you who have been listening know he was on the air about a week ago. And he's a man who previously talked to us about abuses by Deputy Thurber against the environmental and homeless activists Leslie Scales and John Hernandez, who are active both here in Santa Cruz and up in Humboldt County, where their son Forrest died of a poisoned stream, and apparently a case that will become a significant legal suit in the months to come. I don't know how much of that you're going to be talking about, Dave, but I guess you were going to do a follow-up on what happened in this case with Deputy Thurber and his depredations. He apparently had been harassing them for parking their van, not even sleeping in their van in the county, which is legal, unlike in the city where it is illegal. But the sheriff's deputies, of course, tell you the opposite. But he had been harassing them simply for, for being connected with a van. You gave us a brief summary of that before. Why don't you recap the summary and tell us what's new around that case?
Well, since last week, not much, because John and Leslie just have been taking trips to Willits to find out about their son. And Thurber has, like all good cockroaches, gone to the corner. And we have no more problems with him at this point because John is not dealing with that. He's got some very good information from Willits. People are actually coming up to him, even though he doesn't look like one of the usual people. He's a very good person to talk with. He was taking pictures up there this weekend, and people were coming up to him and explaining to him the cancers that are starting in their families up there. The children are becoming sick. And this is something that John's been going around in Willits for a few months back and forth, trying to get people from the government's view and from the streets to come together with the thought that there is contamination up there. Now it's widespread in Willits. There's lots of information about it, and even
we're talking, David, about what polluted water sources.
We're talking about the Renko company, who has been dumping chromic acid. They have a silo in Willits. It is seven stories tall, and it's underground. And when it rains, the whole area is covered. The grounds are seeping with it. The kids are becoming contaminated with it. There's a school near Remco. There's a hospital near Remco. There's a foster home near Remco. The shopping center is near Remco. It's all right there, and it's all out in the open now. So you're right, in a few weeks, we're going to be hearing a lot about the real story of what they've been dumping up there. They pick up a newspaper and they read through it on the way back from Willits, and it says that some anonymous tipper actually wrote into the paper and told them about 50-gallon drums being dumped at a certain place of chromic acid in the same place, and that's what they were looking for.
Wow. So maybe the whistle has been blown on these corporate scumbags who are apparently killing people, killing children up there.
By Pepsi. They're owned by Pepsi. And you know how that goes up. I mean, when one company like that is owned by a bigger company, you might say it's owned by Pepsi, who's owned by IBM, who's owned by Sperry Ram, who's owned by GM. It goes up like that to a family. That's how it works in this country.
And regarding the Thurber case, I know that perhaps maybe the folks are playing the cards a little close to the vest, but I hear rumors that an ACLU attorney has been engaged in this process, and for an ACLU attorney to get involved in a case in the Santa Cruz County is very significant. We rarely see it happen. Local ACLU attorneys avoid cases of homeless harassment like the plague generally. I think the last time anybody got involved was Margaret Marr back in 1994-95 when there was a challenge to the sitting ban following widespread demonstrations in downtown Santa Cruz in the law that makes it illegal for people to sit down on the sidewalk. They changed the law slightly, so it's now illegal to sit, but you can't sit 10 feet from a store window. You can't sit 50 feet from an ATM. You can't sit 4 feet from a phone or a change dispensing rack, with the exception of a newspaper rack or a telephone. So the ACLU doesn't get involved much, and the fact that it may be getting involved in the case of Leslie and John Hernandez, I understand it's the San Francisco ACLU, not the local ACLU, of course. What more could we expect? Is a good thing, and I'm glad to hear that. But apparently, they're not fast enough, because not more than 10 minutes after you informed me about this situation in the Pergolisi this morning, something unusual, or perhaps a little too usual, happened to you, Dave.
Yeah, it's been an unusual day today from Santa Cruz, because as I was strolling up in my pickup truck, a Pacific Garden Mall, after I talked to you about 10:30, 11 this morning, I didn't come to a complete stop, says the officer on the bicycle. So as I'm turning left onto Locust, there's no place to park. I go all the way down to the end of Locust, turn right, and I park on Cedar, where there's plenty of room. I get my ID out, the registration, everything, my license, and I walk to the back of the truck where he is, and he tells me to get back in my truck. I said, no, I'm not getting back in my truck. Here's my stuff. And I know why he told me that, because I drove a cab for many years. And whenever anybody, and listen to this carefully, people, whenever you're stopped by an officer, get your ID, get everything you need, get out of the car, go to the rear of the car, go onto the sidewalk and stand there. He tells you to get back in your car. You tell him to take the ID, write the information down, or let you go, or arrest you, because he has no right to tell you to get back in the car. He told me it was dangerous to get out of my car on Cedar Street, even though there was a good 2 or 3 feet after I opened my door before I even hit the white line, because that's where I parked. I made sure I parked in a really good place where they couldn't bother me about that. But he made me get back in my truck. He made me follow me. He followed me back and made me get back in the truck. And the reason for this is, if you're in your vehicle, when they're asking you for ID, they have the right to ask about your vehicle. They have the right to ask about the occupants in your vehicle. They can run warrants on the occupants in your vehicle. And they can run, they can check your vehicle to do anyway. They can also,
of course, what they say is that they are doing it for they're doing it for officer safety. However, I think you're quite right. In fact, what I do as a matter of course, even with strange police departments, which makes it a little riskier, is I get out of the car and I approach the officer and I say, and this is often the best thing to do, how can I help you, officer? Meaning, what's going to be the problem? Not even assume that my ID is going to be wanted, but obviously I'll have my ID with me. And usually this disarms the police, because they, almost no officers have ever asked me to sit in my vehicle. And if they do, I usually delay. I kind of use the silent resistance approach with that. Particularly if I don't know the police jurisdiction, I don't know if I'm dealing with, homicidal thugs or simply harassing bureaucrats. It's not entirely clear. It depends on the police department in question. And maybe a fine officer. In fact, I've actually filed commendations about officers in other departments and in the Santa Cruz department. But generally speaking, I'm wary, and I believe in taking the initiative in those encounters. And I think you've had your own experience as a taxi driver. So what happened in this particular case?
Okay, so he made me get back in my truck, and he started asking me questions. You have drugs? Do you have weapons? Do you have warrants? No, no, no. He goes and checks them. Does your friend have any problems? I had a friend of mine in my truck. I said, oh, he's fine. In fact, I was taking him to work. It was a little block away from where he worked, and I said, he works right there.
You wouldn't have to answer any of these questions. You could simply have told the officer, if you want to write me out a ticket for making an inappropriate stop, please do so. I've got to get going. Otherwise, I'd like to be on my way. And, of course, another way to forestall these kinds of inquiries is to pull out a tape recorder and begin tape recording, particularly if you're in an area where you're likely to be recognized by other people. Downtown Santa Cruz, for instance, is an area where I would have no hesitation even announcing what's going on to other people about what seems to be a kind of harassment. But, certainly it doesn't hurt to have a tape recorder, although sometimes the tape recorder does disappear into the evidence, a locker, if they choose to arrest you. But what happened next?
Well, I thought about the tape recorder, too. I loaned it to John. He had it up in Low Willits. But he actually opened the door to the passenger side, started questioning my friend. Forced my friend, and told my friend to get out of the car, and he started searching. I said, no, sir, you cannot search my vehicle. He goes, well, you didn't want me to search the vehicle. That's why I'm searching it. I said, well, that's not reason enough. You have no reason to search my vehicle, and nobody wants you to search your vehicle. If nobody wants you, does that give you a reason to search it? And he continued to search the whole thing.
Who's the officer involved?
He wrote his name. He wouldn't tell me his name. I didn't catch it on his name tag, because that was the end of the thing. He had already signed it or anything.
Did you have the ticket with you?
Well, I do, but I can't read it, and his badge is 161. So I already made the complaint out. I'm typing it up tonight, and I'm bringing it in, and I'll find out who it is. But his badge is 161.
Well, Skidmark Bob of Copwatch may actually know that, although they may change their badge numbers periodically. I'm not quite familiar with their system. But, I think that what you're pointing out is, of course, outrageous. Searches of vehicles that are, if the only crime that's been committed is making an illegal left turn, it seems inappropriate for an officer to be searching your vehicle, particularly since you can't, if there's a pat-down search for weapons, for instance, is only justifiable if there's reasonable suspicion, like a bulky coat with an object looming out of it or something, or some kind of a bulge. Even in a detention, in an arrest, of course, you can be searched thoroughly. That is one of the rights a police officer has in that respect. But you were not being arrested. You were being given a citation. So I don't think he had a right to do a complete search. Although, I guess it's possible to regard an infraction ticket as in a moving vehicle as an arrest. And this is, again, an interesting question, because we were told by the district attorney of Santa Cruz County, D.A.R. Danner, as well as a public defender, in a presentation before the Citizens Police Review Board last fall, that infraction tickets per se, for example, do not justify searches, if we're talking about infraction tickets against pedestrians. And I would assume the same is true with vehicles, that if you're just getting a ticket for speeding, that is not a justification for a complete search of you or of your vehicle. Again, I'm not an expert on this, and perhaps some folks listening in would like to add their thoughts on the matter. Any ACLU attorneys, of course, hop on the line and give us a call. Or if you had experiences such as David here has had recently about police disregarding your rights, Santa Cruz police in the downtown area, we'd like to hear about it. I think it's appropriate the community know about it. You don't have to give your name. You don't have to give your address. We don't care about your sexual proclivities. But we would like to know what kind of conduct is going on by our police department in this community. Is there more you want to say about this, Dave?
No, I would just maybe give some advice that if you do get stopped by the police and there's other people in the car, the person who's driving, grab everything you have, step outside the car. If he tells you to go back in, you tell him you're not going to get back in, and don't do it. And make him do that right there outside, because he has no right to inspect the people or your car. And that's just the rights that you have. Guard them. Are they going to be gone?
I think it's appropriate, certainly, not to consent to searches, and it's appropriate to tell if an officer, you know, directs you to do something, you can sit down, and on the curb and say, I'm just going to sit here, officer. I don't particularly want to get back in my car at this time. I want to be out here visible because I'm a little bit wary about what's going on. Of course, you know, what the officer will do is his choice, but I often think you have a better shot, particularly in Santa Cruz, in a populated area where some people have some concern about this issue, to make the officer's behavior visible. You certainly should never consent to a search. That's one of the big mistakes that people have made, even who have talked about it on my show here. We heard a tape, I guess, a week or two ago about a fellow who consented to a search, and they found an axe handle in his car, and he was charged with some felony weapons thing that he'd never anticipated, because he consented to a search, even though there was no reason for him to do that. Well, thank you, Dave. Any other words of wisdom or advice?
No, thanks for letting me share this with you. I hope you guys stay together out there, because it's getting pretty bad.
Yeah, indeed. Thank you, Dave. Well, you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. The free radio station of Santa Cruz. I want to remind you that we have a special benefit coming up tomorrow for the sleeping band. Let the homeless and migrants sleep without fear of tickets or jail. Dance your shoes off, then fall asleep outside and get arrested. Now, you don't have to do that, but certainly dance your shoes off Friday, May 8th, tomorrow at the Veterans Hall. Starts at 7, goes to midnight, got Slow Gherkin, Carol Denny, Jess Kidden, Wellspring, Keith McHenry, Mark Levy, and I promise to be a security guard on the door, so you can give me the bum's rush, or an insecurity guard, an attitude monitor, I don't know, just a, who knows what I'll be. Anyway, I'll be lingering around the premises, so you can criticize my show, accuse me of having Karen Gillette lose her position. That's a possibility. Actually, interestingly enough, getting back to that issue, Karen Gillette, well, before we do, let me put in a final pitch. We need you to come to this benefit tomorrow night, Friday, May 8th, for the Committee to Repeal the Sleeping Ban. And we need you to bring in any petitions that you may have. If you've been circulating petitions, voter petitions, in order to get people to sign their names as registered city voters in the city of Santa Cruz to put this initiative on the ballot, the initiative that will make it legal for homeless people to sleep in some areas in Santa Cruz. We need to bring those petitions in so we can see exactly where we're at in this petition drive. And also, of course, eventually, if you bring them in, we're going to give you more to take out, hopefully, because this is the last 3 weeks. This is the final push. We have till May 28th to get about 6,500 signatures. We need your help. If you want that sleeping ban to be up for a vote, it's never going to happen unless it gets put on the ballot. That, I'm afraid, is the sad truth. That's what I've found after a decade of protesting, demonstrating, reasonable conversations, writing literally hundreds of thousands of words on the issue, maybe millions of words. And so, let's try it. Actually, I think that this sleeping ban initiative it's really a great way to go if we can do it. And we can do it with your help. So again, help raise funds essentially to pay homeless people to get these signatures. We're the cheapest cheapskates in town about signatures. Some signature gatherers pay $1 a signature. Others even pay $2. That was the casino tax. Well, the sleeping ban people pay you a quarter. Can you imagine? It's pathetic. But at least it's something. And I was really kind of heartened today when I sat in the Cafe Pergolisi while people came in with their petitions, returning them to the professional petition gatherer. And we said we go use some money, and they said no. At least one man said, I'm not going to take any money for this. This is a basic issue of human rights that I feel I have to do. So, hey, combine business and pleasure. Come on in tomorrow night to the Veterans Hall at 7 o'clock and dance and chomp on some chocolate chip cookies and slug sodas. And, hey, help this campaign get over the hump. That's what we need. We need your help, and with your help, we can do it. That's at the Veterans Hall, 7 p.m. tomorrow night, the Committee to Repeal the Sleeping Ban's Big Bash. Well, Dave's not the only one who's been finding the police acting inappropriately. Here's a report from one of Santa Cruz's finest cop watchers, the notorious Skidmark Bob, who will be playing, by the way, tomorrow night, with Just Kidding at the Veterans Hall at the Sleeping Ban Benefit. But here he is with another hat on, or another set of glasses on, watching the cops and giving us his analysis of what's happening.
It's good, my Bob. I just found out it's National Law Enforcement Week here, May 4th, 1998. Right now, they're here at Walnut Pacific, where Officer Over has a suspect. This is all we got, Stephen King shot John Lennon guy here with a guy who believes that Stephen King shot John Lennon. He's repeating the same citation.
What's going on?
You're trying to tell me this is illegal.
This is illegal. I thought it was legal if he could hold a sign.
It is.
It's legal if you hold a sign.
Not if you're dirty blowing smoke.
If you touch blowing smoke. I won't do this at City Hall.
Yeah,
you have to be holding a sign, which you are holding a sign. You're not really doing that.
This is, try to tell me it's not legal to pass out. Flyers are used when he's office.
Really?
Yeah. What's your name, by the way?
I'm Skidmark Bob. Yeah, for free radio. Actually, mind if I tape this?
No, you mind if I tape this?
Sure. It's for free radio Santa Cruz.
Wait.
96.2 pilot radio station done. So you're being cited for having a sign?
I don't even know what I'm being cited for.
What's your sign say?
That Santa Cruz Professor removed. He's a police chief.
Oh,
it's a police issue.
Well, yeah, it's National Law Enforcement Week, you know. That's why cops are wearing those little blue ribbons.
It's a long ways to go before they can wear it with the rest of the nation.
And we have for the satanic, please boycott these satanic stores.
So that's what we need, and then please boycott these two merchants.
So why do you want people to boycott merchants?
I was speaking to this lot of a voice 3 days ago, saying, one of the people that walked by my van, it was at the time right here.
Uh-huh. Sean Lennon agrees. Have you seen the paper?
Yeah.
You know, they'd walk by and they'd get right up to me, like right next to you, and when I got really close to me, I'd say, and listen, turn of the voice, Sean Lennon agrees. Have you seen the paper? And this woman comes out and she tells me, why don't you just leave? And I go, I'm not doing anything wrong. And then she tells me later on, you better find another store. And I go, you can't tell me how to live my life. I'm not breaking any law. So she calls the cops and writes a ticket. And please, to give an example of what their life, look at this.
We're holding the sign like, then I'm trying to tell the public that they're trying to possibly kill me. And they're trying to tell me I can't do that.
We're
trying to make it so you got to be right up next to me. They hear me, they whisper. They're trying to be, they're trying to have a 14-inch sign. That's ridiculous.
Well, if the sign's fastened to something, then it would be illegal and have to have your name on it and stuff. But if you're holding the sign, it's not illegal because that's something to do with the Constitution, Bill of Rights.
I've had this explained to me. Another officer explained it on tape.
Mm-hmm.
I got the whole shebang. I got the thing from the downtown host office that says it's got to be 3 feet by 3 feet. This is about 2 feet by 1.5 feet.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Just bang up my gun. So,
I'm a fan, I
feel like failing
my
KGL,
I love it,
man. This policeman's probably
had
me cited for it.
Can I have
it? Yeah. This policeman's
trying to cite me for it. This guy is so famous.
He says the sign's too big. He was going to the sign about Chief Butcher, and Officer Rivers here.
This is great, man.
I'm waiting for a sergeant to show up. He's refusing to sign a citation about signs. Something along those lines.
Actually, I put one in there.
Every time Sergeant Vogel.
So we're listening to a Monday encounter between Stephen Lightfoot and Officer Marty Over. This is the partner of Officer Killer Carey, the man who shot Happy John Dine. Over has a particularly notorious reputation on the mall for harassing people on the streets, street merchants, young people, folks who are homeless. And indeed, he knew Happy John. Indeed, supposedly by his own account, approached him by name, but for some reason, it's not clear that he didn't make this information known to his partner, Officer Connor Carey, that Happy John was one of those colorful characters, that it was best not to shoot dead without talking to first. But apparently that didn't make its way through. Over didn't get that way, and he also gave us didn't communicate that information clearly, and he also claimed that Happy John was holding a weapon on Officer Carey, visible weapon, combat stance, acting in a threatening manner, all of which was disputed by every non-police witness. This, of course, we've gone over in great detail in past broadcasts. And Officer Over here is giving a signed ticket, apparently, to another colorful character, Stephen Lightfoot, is a man you may have seen around town. He has a van claiming that Stephen King killed John Lennon. I have no idea as to the merits of this allegation. It always sounded like a wingnut claim to me. But hey, I haven't done the research, and I can't say one way or the other. I can say that he has the right to make any claim he wants on the streets of that sort without getting harassed by either merchants or police, and certainly has the right to give out flyers and hold up a sign about it. I mean, that's his choice as an American, as a human being with the basic constitutional right to do that, then he should be allowed to do that. And actually, when I passed by him 3 days before this incident, you can actually hear him referring to this, he told me he had been he'd been harassed by merchants who had been directing him not to do what he was doing, which is stand on the sidewalk, not blocking traffic, asserting his position around this John Lennon slaying. And apparently Officer Over came up here and wanted to give him a ticket for holding up a sign, which is not an existing ordinance. I mean, there is an ordinance about posting a sign beyond a certain width and breadth and so forth, but there's nothing about holding a sign. You can hold up as big a sign as you want, as long as you're not blocking anybody. And Stephen Lightfoot has refused to sign his ticket, which means that
Theoretically, if he doesn't sign his ticket, they are forced to either drop the thing or take him to jail. There's been some rather interesting discussion, debate, and kind of mutual solidarity around the idea of refusing to sign a ticket and simply saying, take me to a magistrate. And this was done in the case of Shaz, the fidget man. You may remember, we've had him on the air, and we're going to be pursuing his case down the road. Let's hear more about what happened in this case with Stephen Lightfoot, with Skidmark Bob providing the taped interview.
Sergeant Lee was showing up here on law enforcement week here.
If you wanted to protest down on Pacific Avenue, it would be illegal for you to walk down the mall with a sign that big. What's your sign? 2 feet by, you know, 2 feet or something like that?
About 2 feet.
It looks like it's 2 feet by 1.5. Santa Cruz to a Steve Belcher move.
2 feet by 2 1/3 feet or something like that.
It's about 24 inches by 28. Did you know what store is complaining? Was it this one over here?
This one next to us?
The fact is that, hello,
hello,
they're not going to shrink my sign, I'll be out here every day.
They're taking away your rights, not mine.
Come on, Stairs. Some people kind of hanging out here trying to stand a little
interest to you.
I better just take a look at one of these just so I know the content, just so I make sure it's not religious. It's political, that's just to protect it.
And the voice you heard about, let me look at the content of the signs, he's not religious, or the content of the literature, that was Officer Over speaking. The other another policeman was Sergeant Vogel, who should know better. The code section he cited has nothing to do with holding signs. It has to do with posting signs. And I think he was simply covering for his officer, or maybe he was genuinely ignorant. A lot of us are at times. We have an incoming call. Let's see what's happening.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
This is not just an incoming call. This is a Poor People's Campaign commercial.
Uh-oh. I would like to let you know, and I recognize your voice, Mr. David Silva, that we have twice advertised your victorious Friday, the May 8th rally, dance, and general orgy and jamboree for the Committee to Repeal the Sleeping Ban. But if you wish to advertise further, be my guest.
Well, sure. Yeah, I just want people to have the feel of it. You know, it's really going to be a very nice event. One of the things that a lot of people complain about the Veterans Hall is the sound, but we have solved that problem. We have a real nice sound system, and we have a wide variety of music. So you're going to be coming in, entering with, Just Kidding playing acoustical. The most ticketed band in the history of downtown Santa Cruz will be welcoming you in the door and welcome you as you sit down or go to the tables and so forth.
What about Stephen Lightfoot? Will he be telling us why John Lennon was killed by Stephen King?
It's a good possibility, but he won't be doing it from the stage.
How about Steve Belcher, our police chief? Will he be telling us why his police officers are ticketing people for holding up signs?
If there's still people in there 2 o'clock sleeping at the Veterans Hall, we may see Steve Belcher's face. I don't know. So then to go on with this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful event that really will be a nice bringing together of the radical community, the liberal community on some progressive common ground here. And so it's going to be starting out real nice and mellow. We're going to have to go to sort of almost a new age kind of music first, after Keith McHenry's speech, by the way.
Keith McHenry, isn't that the notorious scoundrel who co-founded Food Not Bombs back in Cambridge in 1980?
Yeah, what a concept, you know. It's almost like a digger's concept, isn't it?
Isn't this the guy that the San Francisco police have repeatedly beaten in jail for serving people soup and rice in public places?
Yes, he's a real criminal, so we thought it'd be appropriate since we're talking about stopping the criminalization of the poor.
Well, maybe someone could hold...